Welcome to the August 15, 2020 session of TeamSpeak for OpenHPSDR. My name is Dave, KV0S, and this week I've been working on some projects, working on the Tapper DCC components, and
user in your channel is recording.
We're trying to make some headway towards DCC, and where it's an interesting task figuring out how to do something in a new way the first time. So that's it for me. Next on the list, we have Greg, ZL3IX. Go ahead. Greg's mic muted. And next on the list, we have Mike, AAAK, shown as recording and mic muted. And we thank Mike for posting the TeamSpeak sessions to TeamSpeak, tsarchive.openhpsdr.org. Next on the list, we have Phil, VK6PH. Go ahead, Phil.
Thanks, Dave. Good morning, good afternoon, evening, all. Not a lot to report this week. Mainly helping folks bringing up their OpenHPSDR projects that have been sitting on the shelf for a while, but managed to help a couple of folks get things working again. And triggered the memory for how things work, but yeah, that's about the update from here, I'm afraid. Back to you, Dave.
Fine business. I've pulled out my Janus board just the other day, and I was curious, thinking about figuring out how it works and if I could use it in some way. So you never know. Next on the list, we have Scotty, WA2DFI. Go ahead, Scotty.
Okay, good evening, good afternoon, everyone. It's been a while since I've been on here. I thought I would check in. I've been working on the Tangerine SDR data engine, so it's been a busy week here, just trying to get the schematic finished up. So back over to you, Dave.
Well, fine business. And next on the list, we have Bill, KD5TFD. Go ahead, Bill.
Hey, Dave and all. Good evening. Yeah, nothing too much to report here. Busy work week, actually. Still working a bit tonight. Actually, one thing, Dave, your audio is about 6 dB higher than everybody else, so you might want to turn that back off a little bit, but otherwise all is well.
Well, fine business. Just a second. That should be a little better.
Yeah, a little bit. Still on the hot side.
Okay, that's down 48%.
Still seems just as loud.
Well, I'm going to try to finish this and then work on that just a second. Last on the list, we have Bob, BE3JKM, shown as recording and away. And that brings us to the end of the list, so we're open for general discussion.
Bill, any thoughts on the issues regarding the TeamSpeak server?
I had some ideas. There's a couple of things we could do. The problem is that the host, we own the license, but the host is likely not to... going to host us for a lot longer. They've been laying off people, and Anna has not worked for them for several years. So, and that's the person who set it up for us. One is we could find another machine to host TeamSpeak if that's what we want to do, or we could switch to something like Zoom or Jitsi. Tapper has a Zoom license we can use, but I have to be at every session to run it as host. It's not, being a Tapper board member, I can switch, run it. Scotty could run it, but there's only a limited number of people that could do it. So if either of us were not there for 1 week, we couldn't host it. We could use Jitsi, which is a free version like Zoom, open server. I'm not sure if it's available for Phil in Australia, but it should be. I don't see any reason why. But those are a couple of options. If anybody has other ideas, please speak up.
There's a free version of Zoom that I think allows you up to 40 minutes.
There is a free version of Zoom. If we use the Tapper license, we have a regular no time limit.
Yeah, but that does require you to be present, as you said. And from what I remember, these sessions rarely last more than 5 or 10 minutes, let alone 40.
Well, particularly now when we have most of the team members are busy on other projects at the current moment, although we want to keep some legacy connection between us. So does anybody have any ideas? One option is to try to find another place to install the TeamSpeak server, but I'm not sure any of us want to volunteer to do that. So I don't know. Bill, do you have any interest in that?
Yes and no. I don't have a lot of interest in playing around with yet more new stuff. This is a matter of, you know, spending money and renting an AWS host or DigitalOcean host, then I'm willing to spend the money on it. It's a matter of finding the time to set it up and, you know, get the license or whatever magic is involved in doing that. Does anybody know how much machine is needed to run the thing?
Well, really only Anna, and you know, Anna's working for Flex now these days, but from Oregon.
Okay, I haven't had a chance to look at the notes, and I've been outage fighting the last 3 days, so I guess my preference is we find a new home to run it.
What about Phil? What do you have opinion one way or the other?
Yeah, I agree with Bill.
So, Dave, just out of curiosity, out of the past year, how many sessions have you not been here?
Two or three.
Was it something that you knew in advance that you could, maybe we could tag team it? Or was it something you just came up and you couldn't make it?
Generally, it was something I knew in advance that, you know, a conflict with either a work thing or a family thing.
If we're getting to the point where we got to have, you know, one or three magic people present at some known time, not real happy. And here we've had impromptu people show up and talk at, you know, unscheduled times, or I get a note from somebody, hey, can you meet me on TeamSpeak and do that? Or people wander in and say, hey, is there somebody out there? Yeah, it doesn't happen very often anymore, but I sort of like sort of the openness, impromptu, you know, unscheduled, anybody can come in nature that we got going over here, honestly.
Well, it sounded like Anna was willing to help us move it, and because she's the only one that's compiled the software and installed it. It's pretty much a Linux box, I'm pretty sure. Maybe we can figure out from her what the requirements are. And I don't know if our current ISP would handle it or if we'd have to get a new site.
Who's the our current ISP is Tappers?
No, the one for the OpenHPSDR website.
Oh, God, no.
Okay.
No, I mean, we're renting web hosting there. If we're going to do this, it's going to be, well, I don't know. I work for one of the smaller cloud companies, so, but I don't think I can get my company to host it, but I may be willing to, you know, rent a server from one of my competitors.
Well, the other option is there are some TeamSpeak sites that have the software installed and they sell or rent space to users, mostly gamers.
Yeah, that might be. I mean, that's actually how we were before Anna set us up with this one. And I mean, this one got set up because the hosting provider we were using for that, you know, went off and blew up. That's probably the easiest, most turnkey thing to do. I wonder, how do you gauge reputation and viability of these things?
I'm not real familiar with the whole area. I think we're atypical of their normal users.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, on the last one, it worked for a while, and then we got blown out of water when the company disappeared. So it, I don't know. Let me do a little bit of research on things, and, you know, if things blow up, they blow up. The I sort of like our atypical usage here, and the Zoom stuff is, while interesting, the requirement to have, you know, specific people there is doesn't quite match our use case.
Well, the one other option is the Jitsi, which doesn't require any special host. It's free, and it is an open source project.
It requires learning and investment of time to sort it out. I can justify going and renting a server somewhere else in the cloud as a personal competitive intelligence check on some of my competitors or one of my competitors. So I don't feel quite that bad about that.
If you need any help doing that, I think I can help you in some way.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I just actually need, I mean, I literally have only glanced at the Anna's note and then Scotty's note back. So I've been underwater the last couple of days.
Well, the other, I mean, we have the option that Tapper has a license for Zoom, and we're going to run the DCC with Zoom this year. And George Burkett and I are going to be doing a lot of the technical background stuff on the Zoom. So I'm gaining more administrative experience on that.
Well, Dave, one of the things I've been looking on the Zoom site here is that they, on the business end of them, they have Zoom meetings that basically have no time limit. So this would be the kind of thing where you could maybe open it up, let it run 24/7, and then people could connect and disconnect at will, and it would be more like what we have now as a kind of a chat room that's always there and anybody can connect at any time.
Yeah, the only trouble is if you leave it open like that, other people could appropriate it for other uses.
Well, I mean, if you publish a password on our site, on the OpenHPSTR site to get in, I mean, isn't kind of the whole idea that it is open for anyone to use for anything that they want? Like when Bill says, oh, let's meet on TeamSpeak, then you can do it.
Yeah, it's just that there seems to be an impediment to using TeamSpeak relative to Zoom is more popular these days.
Well, I'm just trying to provide something that is that gives us at least the same features we have now. maybe, you know, without having to spend a bunch of time learning a new platform or end up with only, oh, Friday evening, 1 to 2 hours max, and that's it.
Yeah. What we could do is, I think the best setting is to have Bill explore a little bit, and I'll explore a little bit, and we'll try to see if we can find any vendors that can do this. And if not, we do have the fallback to a Zoom server, to our Tapper license.
So if we did get cut off tomorrow, we could still do that in the interim until we could find a new host.
Yeah, we don't know when this cutoff might happen, but Anna was pretty clear that they're laying off people and they didn't know how much longer they're going to be a company.
Yeah, I think it's funny. He wasn't sure whether it would be that the computers would be turned off or the power would be turned off first.
Well, I guess we'll just leave it at that. I did want to bring up while you're here, Scotty, I'm still trying to get Phil to consider making a talk for DCC. And Steve Bible said he hadn't heard from you. Are you still interested, Phil?
Just let me look at my schedule. I'll let you know during the week, Dave. That's okay.
Okay. And all you have to do is go on to a Zoom and by yourself and record your, you know, put your PowerPoint in and record it. And you just want to stay at about 30 minutes.
Okay, let me see. It's if I have to make the decision at this second, I know what it would be. But hopefully things will ease up a bit this week.
Well, hopefully you can do it, because I think it'd be great to have your comments again on at DCC.
Yeah, Phil, okay. It would be more like a 20-minute talk with a Q&A afterwards, or 25 minutes. So if that helps any, to not the long-winded DCC ones like we had in past years.
Okay. Do I have to be there for the Q&C?
Steve said that you didn't have to if you were on the other side of the world.
Okay, thanks.
But we'll make an exception for you, Phil, so that you'll have to be there.
Thanks. What's the time difference?
You're at about 12 or 13 hours.
It's 20 past 9 in the morning here.
And it's right here is 8 in the evening.
Yeah, and it's Phil, it's scheduled for like 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard, which will be it'll be still Eastern Daylight then. So I don't think there's really any time that's good for you. It's not the middle of the night.
It's the Perth to East Coast is 12 hours. It's a.m. versus p.m.
So we could put you in first thing in the morning, and then it'd be 9 p.m. if that would work.
Yeah, that would work. Okay, well, thanks for the invite. I'll have a serious think about it during the week and let you know.
The nice thing is you can do the talk basically by yourself, and if you don't like it, you can redo it. And then all we're going to have a site where you post your recordings, your PowerPoint slides, and any other materials you want to provide to the listeners.
Okay, thanks, Dave.
I'm going to try to get a hold of John Westmoreland and see if he still wants to give a talk too, because I didn't know if he'd be here tonight, but he was talking about that.
Hey, do you think maybe the other folks who presented at Friedrichshafen this year would be interested also?
I mean, either Lawrence or Shell, maybe?
Yeah.
I'll send them a message and ask.
Yeah, and who else have we had in the past who has given good talks?
It was Warren.
Who was that, Phil?
Warren.
Oh, Warren. I haven't heard from Warren for a long time. Do you hear from him, Phil?
No, I haven't. I know he is. He was very, very busy building a new home, but I haven't heard from him for a long while, I'm afraid.
The other one was John Melton, who was, he was a listener at Friedrichshafen, but did not give a talk this year.
Yeah, you know, John is on the Tangerine SDR list.
And he does have a lot of new work on his Lin HPSDR.
Well, I'll go ahead and drop both of them an email and see what they if they have any interest.
That'd be great. I don't think I want to ask everybody because, but I'd like to get as much of this group represented as possible, because that would be nice.
Yeah, everybody will say yes, and it'll be the software-defined radio conference. Wouldn't bother me in the least.
I think that's good.
So, Phil, have you been mostly busy with work these days?
Yeah, I'm doing a startup at the moment, and it's going really, really well. I'm really pleased. But it's just taking, you know, all the hours I used to spend on OpenHPSDR, I've had to push into the new project. But I'm really, really enjoying it, and fortunately, it's going well. And I know it's not a nice thing to say, but the pandemic has actually helped out, because we've been able to pick up staff who, you know, want to work from home, remote, and also potential customers don't expect a product in a, you know, in 5 minutes because no one else is delivering products in 5 minutes. So it's actually worked out very well for us, which is a, not a very nice thing to say, but it's actually true.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. The pandemic actually is doesn't bother me too much here. I mean, it bothers me what's happening worldwide, but it's like it's kind of calmed things down a bit here.
Yeah, we were looking for premises before the pandemic, and we didn't find anything we liked. So we were all working from home initially, and obviously we haven't found a premises. We're still working from home, and it's working really well, and we're using the Zoom and all those sort of things to keep together. But now, you know, if you tell a potential customer, well, we all work from home, no one bats an eyelid, whereas beforehand they'd sort of look at you a bit odd.
Yeah, oh, like you're not a real company, right?
Yeah, exactly right, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it got to the point here where we ended up selling our building because it was just, we weren't using it and it didn't look like we were going to use it anytime in the future. And interestingly enough, our funding date for the buyer who was going to put the money down, the earnest money down and buy our building, his money was due on the day that all the banks closed for the pandemic in North America, which is in March.
Oh, goodness.
So we were thinking, bye-bye sale, that guy's gone. Well, it put a delay of about 2 months in line, and then the guy just shows up one day with the earnest money, and July 16th, the sale went through, and we're done. We're out of the building. We're happy. We got the good price for it. We got rid of something that we're not going to use because we're really working from home, and it worked out well for us. So got to say, I feel bad for the people that are having trouble, but we really lucked out.
Yeah, well, we've had a bit, you know, we've had some luck there as well. There was a couple of engineers I was really, you know, we'd be able to pick them up. So they both got terminated, able to pick them up, and they more than happy to work from home, and it's great. You know, the quality of the people we've been able to pick normally would have been virtually impossible has been great.
Yeah, that's great when you can pick up people that you could normally not afford or not just wouldn't be available. And this past week, we just got two more inquiries for hardware and FPGA work, so it looks like we're not going to be retiring anytime soon.
No, well, I sort of had a bit of a break a while ago, about a year ago, but I certainly didn't enjoy it. So I thought, well, I'll do one more startup, but I've said that about five times now.
Yeah, well, I bet you're really enjoying, but you know, you could tolerate 50, 60 hours or more a week if it's fun.
Yeah, it's not like work, you know, and I've got another, I managed to persuade my wife to let me have one of our son's old bedrooms, which was set up for a study for him for when he was at university, which is really, really lovely. I mean, I used to work in the shack, which wasn't the nicest of environments, but no, this is really nice. And I got a couple of massive screens on the desk, and no, I'm set up here for working, and no, I'm thoroughly enjoying it. I mean, it's as much fun. I mean, I love the time working on the OpenHBSDL projects, and I'm having similar fun and enthusiasm, which is great.
Well, that sounds great. How long do you think you're going to be at it before you can ease back a little?
Well, having tried the retirement for a little while, I don't know that's going to suit me. If as long as I, you know, sort of fit in well and the brain sort of semi-functions, I'm going to keep going.
Yeah, after the brain goes, you can get on 75 meters and join the crowd there and complain about your ailments.
Okay, noted.
At least that's what it's like here in the United States. And Skip probably will preclude you being able to join in those conversations, but it's kind of interesting to tune around on the band at night and listen to what the QSOs are going, what they're talking about.
No, I remember the same things here as well. But no, I think on longer term, my eldest son wanted to change. He's been in website development for many years. He started his own company when I think he was about 15 from home. And he's done very well in web development, but he wanted a bit of a change. So I showed him what we're doing, and he's actually developing a lot of the code for us. And we'll merge with his company probably in about a year's time, and he'll end up taking over for me, all being well.
Oh, sounds great. Then you can do whatever you want. Oh, wait, you're already doing whatever you want.
I hope so, yeah.
Well, great. I hope it works out for you.
Well, so far it's going really, really well. So fingers crossed. And as long as we get out of the pandemic, probably, I don't know, in the next 9 months or so, we should be fine.
Yeah, as soon as they come up with a vaccine, right?
Yeah, I think we're going to win that battle over here, Scotty.
Yeah, well, I hope somebody wins it because it's pretty scary.
I thought your president had already fixed it.
Oh, no, he's just going to do a presidential executive order decreeing that no one's allowed to get it.
Okay, fine, got it.
And that'll stop it cold in its tracks. Well, you know, our previous president, Obama, was going to reverse the rising oceans by himself.
Oh, really? Okay, well, that would have affected us as well.
Yeah, so see, we have a history of, solving global problems. And notice I didn't say successful history.
Noted.
I also note Bill and I have been quite quiet.
Yeah, we don't want to devolve into politics here. I just think I think all politics is just humorous beyond belief.
Hey, Scotty, I have a question for you. I'm going to try to bug you again. Remember the Altera SoC board that has your extender on for your TX1 and H or TX2 and HF, wait, TX1 and HF2. You said Charlie had some code that would run on that. If possible, I'd like to get a copy of it.
Okay, totally my fault. He gave me a Dropbox link with the image, so I just didn't send it to you, so I will.
Very good. That'd be great, because I have all the hardware. I just got to figure out how to get it on there.
Okay, let me see if I can find it while we're talking right here, so they might have an actual chance of getting it to you.
Is it all FPGA, or is there a bit of C code too?
Oh, there's a bunch of stuff on it, but it's, let's see, it's an RBF file, and it is the operating system. It's an ISO image for an SD card.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
So you can just pop that card in with the correct hardware, and it comes up and it runs.
Sounds like a red pitaya.
Yeah, and it's pretty cool, actually. We've used the same image at a couple of events, one of them being the Altera, I guess it was called IDC or something. It was the last Altera conference before Intel bought them. So it was like 2016, I want to say. And we actually demoed it at the conference there. We bought a booth and set it all up and showed it off.
That sounds great. I have that. And it seems like it would be fun to experiment with. I do have a working IQ2 that you fixed a board for me. It's working fine. And Hermes and two sets of Atlas boards. So I have a few, and then I have a couple red Batayas as well. So I have a few radios to play with.
Okay, just send it. Look for it in your inbox. It's actually a Google Drive. It's the ISO image and release notes.
Nothing yet, but maybe I need to refresh.
Yeah, it's very small email because it's just a link. Obviously, the ISO image would be too big to email.
Yeah, I understand. It hasn't popped through yet. You did send it to the KV0S one, right?
Let's see. Where did I send it? A Gmail account.
That's the only one I have.
Let's see. I sent it to kv0s.dave@gmail.com.
Yep, and now it just popped in. Thank you.
You're welcome. Just sorry it took so long. You can see the date on the email was, he was 29 July, so it was a couple weeks ago that he sent it to me.
Yeah, it's been a few. I'm getting ready to, I have one more week before I have to start teaching again for the fall semester. And we're starting face-to-face. I don't know if we'll actually finish it that way or not.
Yeah, here at ASU, they're starting next week. They're starting face-to-face classes.
We have a whole protocol of masks and that kind of stuff. And we have to, for each classroom, there's a certain way they have to walk in and out of the room.
What, you have to back out of the room or something?
No, there's an indoor and an outdoor, and you don't cross with people coming in.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
And apparently people are supposed to wait outside until the time of the class, and I don't know what's going to happen when we have a rainstorm.
Well, then inside the class, they set up tables with the chairs 6 feet apart?
Yeah, these are rooms that they've taken out half the chairs, and so the capacities are really low. My class has 13, and that's a full capacity.
Wow, 13, that's not normally 13, right? That's half?
That room normally sits 25.
So then are you going to be presenting in person, or are you going to be presenting remotely to TV screens?
Well, I'll probably, if I'm smart, I'm going to do everything in PowerPoint on Zoom and then just save the recordings and show them in class. But it'll be something like that. And I have to wear like a face shield, plexiglass kind of hood. I have one that I use in wood turning, but they're actually providing, somebody at the university made a whole bunch of those.
You mean like a police riot gear shield kind of thing?
Yeah, but not that stiff.
Well, you're going to be up at the front anyway, so then the students will be away from you, so there won't be any interaction that's closer than 6 feet anyway, right?
There shouldn't be, and the class is forest management, and in the middle of the semester, there's a number of guest speakers who are coming in with Zoom presentations.
Okay, well, that starts next week?
What is it, the 25th or something? 4th? 24th?
Okay, so the week after. Okay, well, best of luck with that. Sounds like it'll be fun if it's not too crowded.
No, and I'm... sent you a message. I'm not going to be on Monday night on Tangerine. Have some health, something to do on Tuesday.
Okay, so is Nathaniel going to take care of it, or do you want someone else to jump in?
I emailed Nathaniel, and he said no problem.
So I presume he's going to run it then?
Yes. So I just wanted to warn you that, you know, if you wonder where I am, I'm fine, but I just won't be there that night.
Okay, well, good luck with that, and we'll see you in a couple weeks then.
Yep. So, anyway, poor Bill is so busy with work, he can hardly talk with us.
A little bit. I was happy with the political discussion. That was amusing. How happy are you about having to go back to school? I sure as hell would not be... But if they told me I had to go back in the office now, I'd say, thank you, I'll retire.
Well, I only have to go in 3 hours, 3 days a week. 1 hour each day for 3 days a week. And this is probably the last time I'd ever teach this class. So I don't know, you know, if I find it untenable, I can always quit.
Well, do you get to go into your office during the other times?
I can go into my office if I need to, but no other student is allowed to come into your office. You're supposed to arrange all, if you need to meet with a student, you're supposed to do it on Zoom.
These buildings with elevators?
They have elevators, but they also have stairs. I'm on the second floor, so it's, and there's an up stairwell and a down stairwell.
The building I'm in here is too tall to make the stairs viable, so that's actually one of the big questions, is that they figured out you can socially distance two people at a time in the elevator.
You need to go to Adafruit and order one of their, what they call, no-touchies. It's a button and a little stick that covers, and so you can push the elevator buttons without touching them.
Yeah, the pen will do that, but it's more having, you know, an elevator full of people. I don't know, the whole thing is, I get the distinct impression
nobody knows anything and we're just making this up as we go along.
Well, my impression is it's going to be a miracle if we go the full term without stopping.
What do you mean, before we have a vaccine, you mean?
No, if we go the full term, and I think it's going to be kind of like baseball. It'll start getting worse, and then they'll just say, we're going to do it all online.
Oh, big term, you mean your semester. Okay. So, yeah, so people start getting sick, and then you'll have to regroup and do it a different way.
Yep. So, and I don't know. I'm going to try a little bit, but I'm only a substitute teacher or a part-time teacher.
Yeah, I noticed Bill asked about liability waivers. And where was I reading that they're opening things back up, but they're making you sign a waiver saying that if you get sick, they're not responsible?
Yeah, I did see those. I don't know. My wife would rather I just stayed home, but I kind of promise. The trouble is we've had a lot of layoffs, and they haven't been able to hire anybody, so... there's nobody that knows these subjects quite well enough, so they need me for that.
Time to raise your rate.
So, Bill, 25 users on TeamSpeak, that seems pretty reasonable for a year.
Well, yeah, it does. I got no idea. That's TeamSpeak3.com or something. Those I got to go look and see what's the cost to rent the server for a year. But I mean, that was just a quick little bit of Googling.
Well, guys, we're getting back to work. Good to chat. Nice to talk to you. And Scotty, glad things are going well for you. We'll stay well, guys, and catch you next week. 7-3.
Fine business, Phil. And if I can help you get, if you want any questions about how to record or anything, let me know.
Okay, we'll do.
7-3, Phil.
7-3.
User disconnected from your channel.
Well, Dave, I think I'm going to take off here too, but just wanted to check in and see how things are going over here. I haven't been here in a while, so glad to see they're still going.
Yep, and we have glimmers of doing OpenHPSDR, and then Bill and Phil get busy.
Yeah, well, I wonder what's going to happen when I send Nathaniel those three sets of OpenHPSDR hardware, and we have three students who want to set up a system and get it online. They're going to have questions.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting to go back. Well, Phil uses his Metis Atlas set all the time. I have it on my my radio bench, but I switch back between Hermes and the Atlas and then the IQ 2. So depending on what I want to do. And I've been playing with Whisper on Red Pitaya right now. I'm amazed how well it scans most of the frequencies in the HF and reports. And then I've been running the Tapper transmitters, and those seems do amazingly well too.
Yeah, that is amazing for how simple they are.
Yeah, I've had people hearing that, you know, there's no amp or anything that I'm putting on it, and I've had hits in South Africa, Australia, New Zealand, all over Europe, nobody in the middle of Asia yet. I have had Japan.
Say, did I tell you that Dan and I tried it on a Raspberry Pi Zero?
Oh, no, did you?
It actually works.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Problem is that you have to get your time over Wi-Fi because you have to use a Pi Zero W. Otherwise, you have no way to synchronize time.
Yeah, that would be a problem. So, anyway.
Don't you have a serial port on those things?
Yeah, but I think you'd have to do some software mods, wouldn't you? Because isn't it meant to connect via Ethernet?
No, but you could get time off of GPS.
Yeah, but the time sync is built into the software, so you'd have to fix that part.
Oh, yeah. The software uses a NTP assumption.
Which, the Whisper software?
No, the software that it's Andrash, isn't it? Oh, no, Bogdan.
All I know is it was very trivial for us to get things going with the network, but otherwise I think it'd be a little harder.
Sorry, somebody else.
Well, I was going to say one can make the argument as if you're using any part of the internet in your receiving stream, is it really still fair?
Oh, probably.
What do you mean fair?
Is it still radio?
Well, if this radio is plugging one of the boards onto a Raspberry Pi 3, it's just the point was I wanted to see if we could actually do it with, you know, a $10 board instead of a $35 board.
Yeah, no, that I understand that. I mean, there's also the all of the whispers and the JT blahs all run on the assumption that you have a globally distributed clock, which, you know, some fool launched a whole bunch of satellites to be able to do that, but sort of cheating.
Well, you could run a GPS and set up your own time server on the Pi Zero, couldn't you?
Yeah, I guess you could. I mean, well, the whole, the fact that you know you have a globally distributed, very accurate time makes this problem a lot easier than having to do clock recovery to get some of these, you know, super, super low level or, you know, super, you know, the stuff, the blow the noise floor stuff.
Yes.
Bill, you're traveling into Luddite territory now.
This argument came up in the contesting stuff a while ago where was it fair to play with an SDR that can see all bands and the like? And I'm like, well, yeah, if it hits my antennas and my radios, that's just fine. If you're, you know, using GPS to recover time and that's a significant part of your protocol, then I'd say you're cheating more there than if I, you know, do a very good receiver with a whole bunch of antennas. You know, who cares if my receiver can see, you know, is an SDR and can see much more bandwidth than your silly little 3 kilohertz radio.
Well, then you could argue, well, suppose I use GPS to time synchronize a phased antenna array. Is that cheating too?
It would be, yes.
And then if I take three carriers and combine them into one transmitter and transmit them on one antenna, is that three transmitters or is that one transmitter?
I don't know if you... I would say it's one transmitter because these days if I were to... Let's say I just did phasing harnesses transmitting into a VHF beam, right? That's one... that would qualify as one antenna, yes? Or one transmitter?
But if I were to build three transmitters, all 1500 watts, hook them up to phase harnesses, and combine the signals on, say, 10, 15, and 20, and feed them all to a tri-band beam, I could get 1500 watts out from each carrier continuous. Now, if I built one transmitter, it was a 4500 watt transmitter designed to do three carriers, one on each of the bands, essentially, when you get to the RF section, it looks identical. I mean, if you were at the other end of the RF, it would look identical. But in reality, that's one piece of hardware, so you're really not legal because it's a 4,500-watt transmitter and you're limited to 1,500 watts.
Yeah, I think you'd have to go look at what are the words on the transmitter stuff. I was more thinking of the not so much the power things, but I mean, because when the SDRs came out and like they were saying, well, it's unfair to use CW Skimmer in contests. I'm like, really? I mean, it's, you know, I'm sitting here with my dipole in the trees and I'm competing against, you know, the guy down the street with 499-foot towers. I mean, you know, what's fair?
Yeah, really. And I think it was a CQ handled is they just made a new class and said, okay, you're unlimited class. You can do whatever you want. But guess what? You compete against other guys doing unlimited things.
Yeah, no, it was more a matter of, hey, if I build a better mousetrap and a better receiver, then, you know, I mean, essentially the anti-SDR you know, crew said, okay, well, we're effectively going to limit you to, you know, 3 kilohertz of bandwidth.
They didn't do that, did they?
I think they might have. I honestly, I don't know. I'm not a contester. I just found the arguments to be very anti-SDR and very anti-technology. And, you know, I was thinking, you know, like, I mean, spotting in contests is always sort of a gray area as to, you know, how legal is that. And I always looked at it as, well, if it's my hardware running in my station and, you know, my station is, you know, all within some reasonable contained, you know, X feet of each other, all the antennas are within X feet of each other, it's one station. So, you know, if I choose to spend, you know, a ton of money on antenna towers, that's great. If I choose to spend, you know, my money on, you know, transistors and, you know, applying clever software with my transistors, that's just fine too.
Yeah, so how come we haven't seen the first station to win CQ Worldwide CW with a totally automated station?
Say, I'm going to break in here. My wife is expecting me to be done within an hour, so I'm going to be out of here and talk to you guys next week.
Hey, 73 Dave.
73 Dave. I have no idea. The people with the technical skills to write such code are not interested in CW enough to do it.
Oh, I think there are. I think then it becomes an exercise in software skill.
Well, I mean, this software writer's been screaming to, you know, deprecate CW for quite a while now, so.
Well, it hasn't happened yet, so you can still win. I mean, I can see how it's possible that it could be done. I don't really have the software skills to do it, but it could be an interesting challenge. And then once you did it, then, you know, been there, done that, then you have to move on and find something else to do.
Yeah, I'm going to spend that much time and effort on something. It's going to be something commercial to get paid, I think.
So, Flex will sell the contest operating module.
Refrain from commenting.
It'll cause World War III. Just wait.